Howdy, folks. Welcome to Dog's Movie House at dogsmoviehouse.com for another edition of the Dogcast. This week, we're going to be talking two brand spanking new releases. We've got the latest from Peter Berg and co-star Mark Wahlberg. These two guys got together a couple of years ago for the very fine true life thriller Lone Survivor, one of the better true stories out there in terms of military and action. Action and drama very, very well. Peter Berg is pretty much best known for his big, large-scale entertainment enterprises, things like Battleship, and although that didn't do very well, and also Hancock, the kind of deconstruction of the superhero thriller with Will Smith a few years back. But it looks like Peter Berg is finding his niche with these true life stories. Not only did he do Lone Survivor, but he also did the film we're going to be reviewing today, which is Deepwater Horizon. And he's also got another one coming up in the pipeline later in this, near the end of this year. And it's called Patriot's Day. It's about the bombing at the Boston Marathon back in 2013. And so that also stars Mark Wahlberg. So it looks like Peter Berg has found his muse, if you will, in terms of Mark Wahlberg as his leading man. Very much the way Tim Burton has Johnny Depp, and very much the way Martin Scorsese over the years has used Robert De Niro and now Leonardo DiCaprio in said role. Now, before we get to Deepwater Horizon, and speaking of Tim Burton, we're going to get to Tim Burton's latest film. He's been out of the director's chair for a little while. I think Dark Shadows was his last real big movie. Unfortunate critical and commercial misfire starring Johnny Depp. Mr. Depp does not show up for this particular film, although one of the stars of Dark Shadows does, and Miss Eva Green. And this particular film is called Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. And this movie is actually very interesting. It should be right up Burton's wheelhouse, and for the most part, it is. Tim Burton, to me, has always been a guy who has been very interested in a certain visual style. Even the movies that aren't very good, and there are a few of them out there. Things like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I know it's got its fans, but to me, nothing can replace Gene Wilder in the original. And Dark Shadows, another misfire for me as well. That type of thing, or those type of films, rather, you know, show a kind of pervasive style over substance. Moody, gothic, too much flash and not enough meat on the bones of the story. But when Burton gets it right, and he does quite a bit, you get something magnificent, a combination of style and substance that makes the movie very much his own. Now, in the case of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, I have to say that he almost hits it out of the park. I'd say this is a solid double, bordering on a triple if I can use a baseball metaphor. This is a movie that comes from a script by Jane Goldman from the popular novel by Ransom Riggs. Now, I say popular in terms of young adult novels, in which case that means I've never read it. Because, as I've said before, I'm neither young or, depending on who you ask, I don't even really qualify as an adult. Sorry, don't do fake laughter very well, but that's the best I can do under the circumstances. In any event, this tells the tale of Jake. He's played by Azza Butterfield, who is a terrific young actor. Best known probably for Hugo in Ender's Game. And he plays Jake, a 16-year-old who is pretty much out of sorts and out of place in modern-day world. He's something of a meek and mild individual. You find that he gets bullied quite a bit. And his main source of, I wouldn't say necessarily escape, but his main connection is with his grandfather, Abraham, who is played by the brilliant Terrence Stamp. Now, over the years, Abe has filled Jake's mind with stories about monsters and this home for gifted children and things of that nature. And when Abe is killed through rather strange and frightening means, this starts a journey for Jake that first leads to the therapy couch of all things, with a wonderfully droll Allison Janney as Dr. Golan, the therapist. But it leads him eventually to take a journey of self-discovery to the island in England that Abe has been talking about. And there he discovers Eva Green's Miss Alma LaFay Peregrine, who runs the home for peculiar children. Now, the interesting thing about this home is that it is stuck in what they call a time loop. And that means that it's always 24 hours, a singular 24 hours, on a day in 1943. And the reason why Peregrine is able to do that, she's something of a, I wouldn't necessarily call her a wizard, but she's a protector and of these children. And she keeps them there because it's the only way to keep them safe from these creatures called Hallows. Very ugly, tentacled creatures that get their power by eating the eyes of not just children, but anybody they can get their hands on. And they are led by this fellow named Baron, who is played by a very creepy-looking Samuel L. Jackson, complete with glowing white eyes and very, very sharp teeth. And so as Jake enters this world, Peregrine welcomes him in, and he becomes something of a protector and has to find his own way. And that leads to the coming of the Hallows and the discovery of all of these unusual, peculiar children, who are kind of like a Victorian version of the X-Men. They all can do various things. Some of them can float, some of them can make things grow, that kind of thing. Some of them are very strong. You get the idea. And as it goes, the movie is more about them coming together to use their powers to fight the common threat. And for that, it makes it very much like a old-school World War II version of the X-Men, maybe. That's the closest comparison that I can bring it. Now, this film is a film of two parts. The first half, while doing a very good job of establishing the world that they inhabit, also makes the mistake of taking too long to establish said world. The pace drags a little bit through the first half of the film, maybe even a little over it. When Sam Jackson shows up on a screen, though, it picks up considerably. And once the conflict gets going, I think you'll find that this is a very entertaining ride. The design is unique, the effects are solid, the performances are very, very good. Not only do you have Jackson, Butterfield, and the wonderful Eva Green, you also have Judy Dench, Rupert Everett, Allison Janney, Chris O'Dowd, and the aforementioned wonderful Terrence Stamp. They're, and the children also, although they don't get a whole lot to do, they get a chance to shine quite nicely. And it turns out to be a very entertaining film. You just have to slog through the first part of it. And that's what makes it a little bit difficult. But I'm giving this 3.5 out of 5 on Ken Dog's Barkometer. And if you want something a little unusual, like I said, it does have a little shades of the X-Men, but it's its own thing. You should check it out. It is PG-13, and Burton isn't afraid to shy away from some of the more horrific moments. But as long as you're there with your kids, I think it should be just fine. Now we're getting to the next release on the Dogcast. This is the film you want to see this weekend, if you're going to see it. This is Deepwater Horizon, and like I said before, it's directed by Peter Berg from a script by Matthew Michael Carnahan and Matthew Sand. And they based it on the articles by David Rode and Stephanie Saul. And this is based on the true story of the 2010 disaster aboard the Deepwater Horizon, a massive oil rig that went up in flames in 2010 and caused the big BP spill that everybody remember seeing on television, all the litigation and the massive cleanup that dominated the airwaves for over a year. Berg wisely jettisons the cleanup idea in favor of telling the story of the actual disaster and the people who fought to stay alive over almost insurmountable odds. Of the 124 plus people on the rig, only 11 died, and it's a testament to the skill and the courage and the way they were cool, literally under fire, that these individuals were able to escape with their lives. Wahlberg plays Mike Williams, who is out there on the rig. He's the second in command to Kurt Russell's excellent Jimmy Harrell. Mr. Jimmy, as they call him. They go out for a routine 3-week operation, and they find that the BP executives have been short, you know, cutting corners and doing shortcuts at the expense of safety. And even the bathrooms don't always work, the phones don't always work. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar rig, and they can't even get basic intercoms through. They have to rely on walkie-talkies. And in the middle of it all is John Malkovich's The Dreen, who is a great hissable villain. Not only is he cheap and chintzy, but he's got this really thick Cajun accent that makes you want to hit him in the face every time he tries to explain something. That's a over-the-top performance a little bit, but Malkovich makes it work. And he's a guy who attempts to justify exactly what he's doing in terms of a profitable enterprise. When a test goes wrong, it goes wrong spectacularly. And before you can say, "I told you so, you stupid suits," this place, this Deepwater Horizon, is going up in flames. I gotta give massive credit to the special effects team. You don't feel like you're watching special effects. It looks like the cast is in the middle of it, and you feel it. The camera work is outstanding. You get very good performances. I won't say great because the characters are kind of stock, but that's okay. They're all everymen, or in the case of Gina Rodriguez's Andrea, everywoman. And so you can relate to them regardless of lack of deep backstory. Kate Hudson is along playing Mark Wahlberg's wife. It's kind of a thankless role, but she does pretty well with it. Again, Russell is great. Malkovich is fun to watch. You know, you have Ethan Suplee. You have all sorts of different character actors involved. Dylan O'Brien plays the youngest cab, or Caleb Holloway, and he's big in this film. The main reason to see it is because of the way Berg builds the tension. He doesn't just go for the explosions. He waits and waits and waits. Now, there's a lot of technical jargon you probably won't get. I know I didn't get all of it, but I got the idea as to what was going on. And that's all you really need to know. And when things go south, they go south quickly, and it becomes a fight for survival. If you can see this on an IMAX screen, like the one downtown, I believe it's playing at the Esquire IMAX, check it out, because this is a spectacle that has a lot of heart and a lot of good storytelling savvy behind it. I'm giving this one 4 out of 5 on Ken Dog's Barkometer. And if you're going to see one of the two movies this week, Deepwater Horizon is the one that gets my overall recommendation. That's it for this week, or I should say this edition of the Dogcast. Next time we'll be talking about the controversial film Birth of a Nation, among other things. So feel free to come back and comment. Look at the clips below after you listen to the Dogcast. And we will see you next time on DogsMovieHouse.com. So saith the Ken Dog.